This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. You know, sometimes it's really important to get into the big, big picture about human knowledge, advances in technology, and more importantly, the topic of this discussion, the systemic suppression of human knowledge, the suppression of science. We live in a world where there's been so much advancement in energy, in natural medicine, in consciousness, even as we've seen from the recent CIA released documents, real research into psychic phenomenon. And all of this has been suppressed. We get bogged down in the daily struggle or debates about politics and tax policy, Obamacare, you know, these kinds of things. When the much bigger picture is that we already have the knowledge, or we as human beings have already discovered and documented the knowledge to move humanity forward in a huge, powerful way, I mean, a profound way, and yet that knowledge has been systematically suppressed on purpose. And the suppression of knowledge is what serves the interests of the monopolists in power throughout our society. For example, a very clear example is that the suppression of the knowledge of natural medicine and natural healing and healing arts serves the profit interests of the pharmaceutical companies, which are stuck in the chemical medicine era of just a medical cartel system. They don't want you to understand that there is such a thing as energy medicine. They don't even want you to understand the basics of nutrition or herbal medicine or indigenous medicine or Tibetan medicine, rainforest medicine, Aborigine Australia medicine, and from the Aborigines in Australia. There are so many systems of medicine all around the world that are based in plants, and Mother Nature synthesizes so many powerful cures all across the world in every ecosystem, in the oceans, in the rainforests, in the deserts, and so on, that if that knowledge were really to be openly shared and disclosed to the world, the pharmaceutical cartels would collapse. And so the suppression of knowledge is really why the mainstream media exists. It's why academia exists. The medical journals and the science journals are focused on really not the sharing of knowledge, but the suppression of certain types of knowledge, certain categories. You know, a lot of academic institutions claim to be interested in moving human progress forward or disseminating new knowledge, but that's not really what they're into. That's why there's such censorship in the science journals. You can't say that mercury in vaccines is harmful to children. You can't point out that most of the studies of the pharmaceutical industry are pure quackery, cherry-picking studies, fraudulent science, fabricated data sets, and so on. And this goes way beyond pharma, way beyond vaccines, way beyond GMOs. I mean, let's expand our scope for a little bit and talk about life in the universe. Let's talk about disclosure. And there is no question in my mind that there is life on other planets. And we can just start with microbial life if you want to keep it simple and scientific. And by the way, there was a lander on Mars, I believe it was the Viking lander in 1976, that had a very simple mass spec instrument on board that confirmed the existence of microbial life in the Martian soil in 1976. And that was censored. That was covered up. And the scientist who designed that experiment should have won a Nobel Prize, but instead his career was destroyed and he was silenced and he was essentially blacklisted. He should have been one of the most famous names in the history of science. And yet today, I don't even remember what his name was, although we could search and find it. But it should have been a household name, like Edison or Einstein. But we don't even know his name. Why? Because that science was suppressed, completely covered up. And so if there is microbial life on Mars, then there's certainly more complex life forms on other planets, right? And moons of other planets as well in our solar system and outside our solar system. I don't know how many planets there are that have Earth-like conditions in just our galaxy, the Milky Way, but that it's a very, very large number. let's just call it a, I don't know, let's take a wild guess, right? Let's bring in the Drake equation, start guessing. Let's say it's 100 million planets in our galaxy that have near Earth-like conditions that could support life. That could mean there are at least tens of thousands of advanced civilizations of other beings in the universe who are probably much further along in advancement and knowledge than we are. And yet, to even talk about this is considered kind of kooky. It's like, oh, and little green men and aliens and so on. And they always like to put it together with like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch and whatever else. I don't know all the mythical creatures that they talk about. It's not mythical to talk about life outside this planet. So that's just another issue. What about advances in free energy? What about low energy nuclear reactions? Used to be called cold fusion. And that was suppressed. I believe that was Fleischner and Pons in 1989. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think that was the University of Utah. Or a university in Utah. This is just from memory. The Fleischmann and Pons. And they had demonstrated low energy nuclear reactions. And their nuclear reactions had generated the byproducts of nuclear reactions, which I believe is excess helium. Again, this is all from memory. I don't have notes in front of me on this. But the upshot is that was viciously attacked by the hot fusion science cabal. And yet, low-energy nuclear reactions have now been replicated in laboratories, hundreds of laboratories all across the world, including the United States Navy. They just don't call it cold fusion anymore. They call it low-energy nuclear reactions, LENR. That's what it's called now, and it's been replicated all over the place. Now, it doesn't generate a huge amount of intense energy. It's very low energy. It very slowly and barely heats water by converting mass into energy at a very, very slow rate. So it's not hot fusion where you can generate, you know, gigawatts of power for a city. It's more like energy that you could use to heat large pools of water, which is exactly, by the way, what nuclear power plants do, to generate steam, to drive the turbines, to generate electricity. So you have a whole new way now through LENR to generate power without having to use very dangerous nuclear fuel rods. So you might ask, well, why is that suppressed? The answer is because the military needs the cover of nuclear fuel processing in order to generate its enriched uranium to build more nuclear warheads. And so they can't allow the conversion of the nuclear energy industry into low-energy nuclear reactions, because that would deprive them of the enriched uranium that they need for their warheads. You see, and I could cite just dozens of examples of this, how human knowledge and human ingenuity and innovation has been suppressed systematically by politicians or scientists or corporations or entire industries to keep humanity down, to deprive humanity of advances that could vastly improve quality of life or vastly improve awakening, awareness, expansion, knowledge, discovery, all of these things. Again, whether it's medicine or science or physics, astronomy, even anthropology, even the history of humankind. I mean, look at all the evidence of ancient astronauts. Look at the evidence of the forbidden evidence of geology. You start talking about how Egypt and even the Sphinx once existed in an area of very heavy rainfall, and that its age is a lot older than we've been told. And you start getting accused of wearing a tinfoil hat if you question the official explanation on anything from ancient Egypt to, you know, the pyramids to Stonehenge, ancient artifacts, ancient astronauts, just on and on and on. And yet there's so much knowledge right in front of us. And by the way, as a scientist myself, you know, I'm the lab science director of CWCLabs.com. So I know a thing or two about being suppressed as a scientist. I know that when I put out science about heavy metals in food or mercury in vaccines, that that is immediately attacked and suppressed and censored. And knowing that, having experienced it firsthand, I have a small taste of what it must be like to have a really big breakthrough like Fleischmann and Pons discovering and demonstrating low-energy nuclear reactions. Of course they were going to be viciously and maliciously attacked and destroyed, because that was such a, what we call a disruptive technology. It would disrupt the status quo. And actually, that's a really good rule of thumb to keep in mind. Any science, any technology, any advancement that is disruptive to the status quo and tends to decentralize power, that is, to distribute power to the people rather than centralizing power in the hands of the few, that will be attacked, suppressed, demonized, discredited. Anything that tends to distribute power will be attacked and discredited. Whereas technologies that tend to concentrate power into the hands of the few, well, those technologies, they will be supported, promoted, they will be talked about publicly, they will be given publicity. You know, like RFID chips embedded in your skin. The cashless society, where you have an RFID tag in your hand and you just wave your hand over this transaction device in order to pay for your groceries. You know, the new Amazon, what do they call the neighborhood stores where you don't, there's not even a cashier. You just load up your cart and walk out the store because they track everything. They track you, your location, they're tied into your credit card. They know what products you just bought. It all goes into a database to track everything about you. That gets publicity, you see, because it centralizes power. It takes away your privacy and your freedom. So when you look around the world, if you read, you know, Scientific American, which is a largely an anti-science, quack science rag run by the globalists, or if you read National Geographic, same thing. National Geographic is basically run by and funded by the biotech industry, you know, GMOs, vaccines, pharmaceuticals. That's who funds these kinds of, you know, fake science or globalist science publications like National Geographic or Scientific American. And there are many, many others. Those are just a couple of examples. When you look at those, the science, the so-called science that they're publicizing to you is only the science that benefits the globalists, whereas all the real science that benefits the people has been systematically suppressed, ignored, or attacked and quote, discredited by the, quote, experts who are supposed to be, I guess, the high priests of scientific divinity. You know, and in that sense, what should be science has been turned into a cult of scientism or a church of science. And the high priests of science tell you what is true. And they chant in the background, and they have their little science Bible, which is the Lancet journal or something. I don't know what it is. The National Academy of Sciences, which should be called the National Academy of Bogus Science or something like that. These high priests are really science monopolists. And they're not interested in human knowledge. What they're interested in is protecting their fiefdoms that are counterfeit science. That are, yeah, maybe they have one leg, sort of, they have one toe in the pool of science, but mostly they exist to protect their power, to protect their influence, to monopolize the dialogue about science. And this is also true with everything, astronomy. Aerospace technology, even computers, encryption science, economic science is another big one. You've got people like Paul Krugman at the New York Times winning Nobel Prizes while being completely delusional about economic reality, right? Almost everything he says makes no sense, doesn't compute, and doesn't work. You know, only in economics can you be given a Nobel Prize for having a completely idiotic set of ideas that don't stand up to the scrutiny of reality. So that's just, and that's just one example. You know, in astronomy, there are surely countless examples. I'm not an astronomer, so I don't know every, you know, all the details of astronomical science or astrophysics or anything like that. But surely there are cover-ups there as well, because there are probably lots of very unusual phenomena out in the universe that, you know, the government or NASA doesn't really want people to think about or talk about yet. Like, for example, on Mars, why are there, you know, Mars has, well, polar ice caps, for one thing, right? So if there's ice caps on Mars and the ice caps shrink and grow according to the seasons, which they do, there's good photographic evidence of that, then doesn't that mean that the ice is probably melting? You might say, well, maybe it's sublimating. Well, then how is it recondensing back into ice crystals? I mean, there are a lot of questions. There's evidence of water runoff on Mars from these polar caps. It looks like erosion patterns. I'm just guessing. Again, I'm not an expert on the Martian ecology, but I do know that, and this is an actual fact from the NASA website. I believe it's the Cassini spacecraft that took photos of the giant swirling hexagon on Saturn. And you might say, what? That sounds insane. Well, search for it. I dare you. Search for NASA giant hexagon Cassini spacecraft. That's spelled Cassini. I think that's the name of it. Again, this is not, I don't have a teleprompter. This is all from memory. Look at the video released by NASA of the giant swirling hexagon on Saturn and realize that that giant hexagon is larger than planet Earth. And no one can explain that, so people just don't talk about it. Why is there a freaking hexagon on Mars that's larger than planet Earth? You know, it's just, you don't see hexagons that much in cloud formations. Yeah, you see them in beehives and honeycombs and things like that, but not in cloud formations. What could possibly explain that? Should we get into cymatics, the structure of sound, you know, the patterns in nature that can be caused by sound waves or other forms of energy transmission? Maybe that could explain it. Who knows? The point is, there's a lot out there that is being suppressed and not talked about. There's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of human ingenuity that has been suppressed. You know, you look at not just Thomas Edison, but Nikola Tesla. A lot of people didn't even know who Tesla was until recently when, you know, Elon Musk created his Tesla company. Now people think Elon Musk is Tesla. They don't even know who Tesla really was. They don't even know what happened with Edison and direct current versus alternating current and copper wires, energy transmission experiments and all of that. And Tesla was on to some really amazing stuff, but the world wasn't ready for his technology. And even if you want to go one step further, look at John Worrell Keeley and the Keeley experiments into over-unity devices. And I mean, I don't have all the answers of what he was into either, but it sure is interesting. There's a lot out there that has been suppressed from ancient civilizations and their influence on Earth to theories of transpermia, which could mean the genetic influences on modern day humans from non-terrestrial sources, for example. How was Earth seeded with genetics? You realize that genes are binary storage devices. How do you come up with binary storage devices out of nothing? It seems like human DNA had to be engineered somewhere, somehow. Not just random bits coming together. And by the way, what's all that extra code in the human genome anyway? There's a lot of extra data in there that no one's really been able to figure out what it's for. They call it junk DNA. That just means they don't understand it yet. Is it possible? And I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just thinking outside the box. Is it possible that human DNA is encoded with a form of an encrypted message from an advanced engineer somewhere? I mean, let's think outside the box. Is that possible? Yeah, you don't know. You don't know where DNA came from. You have no freaking clue. You haven't been alive that long. I bet you you've been alive less than 100 years, which means you don't know jack. And I don't know anything about where the real origins of human DNA came from and the binary coding system and all of that. None of us. We're infants in a vast universe of incredible knowledge and wisdom and discovery that goes so far beyond anything that you and I can imagine, that we're just like our whole species, like little toddlers in diapers running around thinking that we know something because we created atomic bombs that can blow shit up. That's not wisdom, okay? That's not advancement. I mean, any apes can figure that out sooner or later if you have opposing thumbs and you can figure out the table of elements. That's not very advanced. Blowing shit up is not advancement. What if we figured out how to do the opposite and heal and create something? What if we figured out how to harness the energy of the universe to move things forward instead of destroying things? See, that's real advancement, and that's the kind of knowledge that is being systematically suppressed. And so as a curious being myself, but also humble enough to know that we don't know jack about what's really going on, because, and none of us ever will, we don't live long enough to really become that intelligent, I at least have a sense of awe and wonder about the universe, knowing that we are just tiny little specks of insignificant knowledge in a vast, vast reality that has infinite discovery awaiting us if we just have the courage to stop censoring knowledge and start supporting expansion of consciousness and awareness and actual progress for human civilization. And it's that courage that maybe just now we're beginning to express. It's somehow, there's a revolution taking place, and the old systems of the status quo are starting to be challenged, and they're starting to crumble, and something new is starting to emerge. And so I just want to invite you to be open to that. Things might change in ways that you and I could not possibly imagine or predict. We might be part of something that we could not imagine or predict. There could be big, big changes that are so big, they're game changers. They're so disruptive that they make all of human history obsolete. So significant that all of human time may be defined as pre-event and post-event, whatever that event is. For example, disclosure or something else. I'm just saying, be ready for it. Be open to it is a better way to say it. Be willing to be part of something that really changes the history of human knowledge and human awareness. Because I have a feeling that that time is coming very soon, maybe even in our lifetimes. And that would be something worth living to see or experience or participate in. So be ready for it. I guarantee you that what we know today that is officially recognized as science is just a tiny sliver of what should be available to us right now. And what you think is medicine in the mainstream media, in mainstream culture, is a total joke compared to the healing potential, the rejuvenation and regeneration potential that is probably encoded into our DNA right now. I guarantee you that there is technology locked in every cell of your body, encoded in every cell of your body, that can regrow limbs, that can reconnect nerve tissue, that can regenerate damaged brains and livers and kidneys. I guarantee you it is there. It just hasn't been properly unlocked or tapped yet. But I believe it can be. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You see, a lot of people think that we're going to be saved by machines. They think they're going to merge with the machines and transfer their consciousness into some kind of a computer system, or that AI systems are going to rise up and save humanity. I say that's BS. I think that we save ourselves. I think that we expand our consciousness and awareness, and we become more enlightened. It's not the computers and the machines that are going to save us. And it's not the artificial constructs of, you know, silicon computing systems or neural networks that are going to save us. It's our own humanity and our own connection with the divine that's going to save us. It's the spiritual awakening and expansion, and it's the tapping into the humanity that we already are. Because I don't think that we've I don't think we've fully expressed the potential of who we are. We don't even get close to it. And yet that potential is always there. In our minds, in our cognitive function, even in recognizing the fact that there's more than just your brain that is a computational system in your body. There's a second brain in your body. Your whole nervous system is a computational system and probably much more. It's probably also an antenna of sorts, and it interfaces with your non-physical mind, by the way, which is completely non-physical, and it's not an artifact of your biochemistry. It is something that sits above it. It is epibiological, if you will. It's something that sits above your brain. It is non-physical, and yet it interfaces with your physical brain, translates your free choice, your consciousness, your awareness, your decisions through the physical organ, which is your brain, that then translates what you want to do into the muscles of your physical body in this three-dimensional reality. But your mind is not limited to the three-dimensional reality. And your spirit, your soul, is very likely timeless, meaning it's not of this Big Bang universe. It's just sort of translated into it during your very temporary lifetime. And I could go on and on. There's so much awaiting us. There's so much wonder and so much discovery awaiting us. And it's for me to listen to people who are so-called skeptics and they don't believe in anything mind over matter. They don't believe in mind-body medicine. They don't believe in extraterrestrial microbial life on Mars. They don't believe in anything. How sad and pessimistic and pathetic is that belief system? It's the ultimate doom and gloomer to think that there's no soul, there's nothing, there's no life after death. They think that they're just biological robots who perish at the moment their heart stops beating, living a pointless life like human pinball machines, empty bags of biological cause and effect, just bouncing around life with no particular purpose or aim or intention. And that's what they believe. That's what they actually believe about themselves, you know. And it's just so sad and pathetic and pessimistic. And that's not where I am at all. I'm highly optimistic. I think that this life is just the beginning. It may actually be the middle of whatever our experience is. It may just be one little tiny sliver of our overall experience from our soul's point of view. But there's so much more to reality than what we think we are experiencing here right now. Some scientists believe this is even a simulation, a computational simulation, like a game that you've agreed to be injected into with a sliver of your consciousness to sort of play out this simulation. And then at the moment of your death, you die, then you wake up at the other reality where you're like, wow, that was a fascinating game. Yeah, that one part sucked where, you know, Bill Clinton was president, but the rest of it was kind of fun. Or whatever. I mean, a lot of scientists actually believe this is an artificial reality, a simulation, even a computer system. And we could discuss, there's a lot to explore in that realm all by itself. Gee, but I don't have time to go into that right now. My bottom line point, and I'll wrap this up, is to say there's much more to be discovered. Much has been suppressed in every area of knowledge, from medicine, science, technology, astronomy, disclosure, you name it, history. Much of history has been suppressed. You don't know jack about what we've really been through to get here. And we are, I believe, approaching a moment where there's going to be so much more awakening, so much more discovery, maybe an ending to some of the cover-ups in certain areas. There are going to be, I think, revelations that will rock your world, that will change human history, and that could, in many ways, set humanity free. Do I even dare discuss some of the broadcast frequencies? Now, I guess I'll say that for another talk. But there are systems in place that keep people stupid on purpose. And maybe, just maybe, humanity is about to break through some of that. So there's a lot of knowledge to be discovered, a lot of real science awaiting us for those who have the courage to explore the truth and speak the truth and stand up for it. And I believe that the era of censorship, the era of suppression of knowledge, is going to be coming to a close very soon. Again, perhaps in our lifetimes. So thank you for listening. I hope you found this interesting. My name is Mike Adams. I'm known as the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening to healthrangerreport.com. Check out some of my other coverage of current events and much more at naturalnews.com. Click subscribe to stay plugged in to the Health Ranger Report. I know you have a lot of choices of where to get your superfoods and supplements, personal care products, and so on. To find all these solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, M-A-G-A. healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, as in Make America Great Again. You'll find hundreds of solutions there that can enhance and help protect your health. Again, that's healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. At the Health Ranger Store, we are a pro-liberty, pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-America manufacturer and direct distributor. We sell direct to customers, offering extraordinary values on these products. Lab tested and verified, we test all of our products for bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, much more. Also glyphosate and herbicide and other pesticides and herbicides are being added to our testing procedure to make sure that we bring you safe, verified, clean supplements that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, Amazon.com is a joke compared to us. The Wall Street Journal even did a story exposing the thousands of contaminated, illegal, banned, toxic supplements and products that Amazon sells. We wouldn't sell that because we have ethics, we have morality, we're honest, we have integrity as a manufacturer and a provider of these products. Check us out, healthrangerstore.com. Over 700 different products are available right now. High-end supplements, superfoods, personal care products, even fragrance-free products that are eco-friendly for your home, such as laundry detergent, body soap, dishwasher detergent, and many other products. You'll find just an incredible assortment at healthrangerstore.com. And most importantly, your purchases there help support our ongoing efforts to spread the message of liberty and freedom and pro-life, respecting life in all its forms, and having a nation and a world that operates with ethics and morality so that we might have a sustainable human civilization, not one that's collapsing in destitution and suffering, which is what the radical left and the communists want to bring about. So support us, and we support humanity. HealthRangerStore.com. I thank you for your support.